safe, right? Have you ever had that person in front of you? And then there's traffic or there's a double yellow line and you don't want to break the law and go over the double yellow line, right? And you're just waiting and it's like, I got to get past this. I can't believe it. It's not even Sunday and they're a Sunday driver, right? Have you ever had that happen? Yeah. Yet that feeling inside you that just, why, right? Why? And then all you have to do is get a little information about that person in front of you. And you find out that maybe that person is just coming back from the hospital and found out that the husband of 40 years that they were married to and their only son had died in a car accident. And there was no one there to bring him home. And so they had to drive home by themselves to an empty house. If you would have known that information, would that have changed the way you felt behind them? Yes. You would have had compassion, right? Compassion. Today we're going to talk about being compassion-led. And think about just that little, a minute ago we were thinking, yeah, I want to get beyond. And all of a sudden we have a different information. And my heart goes out to that person. You and I don't know what's going on with the people in front of us. Listen to what Jesus experienced in Mark 1, 40 through 45. Then a leper came to him, imploring or begging him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And that word for willing has to do with if you'll take delight, right? If you'll have, if you just have pleasure, you could do this, right? If you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus, listen, moved with compassion, put out his hand and touched him and said, I'm willing, be cleansed. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone. Go your way. Show yourself to the priest. Right? Because the priest was one that could say, you are now clean. The priest knew that this person had leprosy. And it was the priest who would then be able to say, you're clean. Undefiled. Go. But look what happens. Offer yourself... show yourself to the priest, do the things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it. Now, I don't know about you, but I would too. If I've got parts of my body that are starting to fall off and all of a sudden everything's clean and, this is, because leprosy is just that. The nerve endings begin to die out and pretty soon fingernails and fingers and ears and tips of noses begin to drop. Yeah. Not very good, right? By the way, no Jew was supposed to touch a leper at all. They would become unclean. So I believe that when Jesus touched him, he was immediately clean. So Jesus didn't touch a leper. Okay, just a side note. And he spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every quarter. So Jesus had a couple reasons why he didn't want him going out and blabbing everything, right? Because he realized that as soon as people heard that someone who had leprosy was cleansed, they're going to come all over Jesus, right? But I want to look at a couple things here, and then there's a couple other verses in the scriptures that I want us to be able to look at to kind of grab hold of the idea of compassion. Compassion. Matter of fact, there is a definition that I really like of compassion. It has to do the word has to do with something that comes from the bowels or the intestines. There's this groaning, that this kind of thing that comes out that, you're just compassionate. And what it is, the term obviously defies adequate translation. What it means is that the suffering, the sin, the abandonment, the peril of people went right to Jesus' heart, into himself, so that their whole plight was now his own. As such, he saw and suffered far more keenly than they did. This word means that he took their misery upon himself, taking it away from them and making it his own. Compassion. So the word in the Greek means to bear, suffer, sympathetic consciousness of others' distress together with a desire to alleviate it. So think about the scenario we talked about earlier with the woman driving home to an empty house, probably fearful of driving too fast because her husband and only son just died in a car accident. If we knew that, we would want to come alongside and say, "Can I drive you home?" Compassion, right? Compassion. Jesus saw this person with leprosy and had compassion. In other words, I wish that was on me and not on you, right? I wish I could bear that for you. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to heal you of it. Compassion. If you are willing, this man says to Jesus, if you're willing, right, if you would delight in me enough, you can make me clean. By the way, that word make and clean are the same word. It means to remove by cleansing. So you can clean me clean. Not just make me clean. You can clean me clean. Jesus does that to us. He cleans you clean. Aren't you glad? He has such compassion on us that he cleans us clean. I like that. When I saw that, I thought, because I wanted to find out, what's that word make? Oh, it's this word. What's that word clean? Oh, it's the same word. He cleans me clean. I like that. I like that. And so this man said, you can clean me clean. And then Jesus is moved with compassion. There's that comes upon Jesus that feels for this man, that knows this man, wherever he goes, has to call out, unclean, unclean. And people would distance themselves from him. Jesus felt compassion. I no longer want you to call out, unclean, unclean. I'm willing. Be cleansed. And he was. I want to look at some other portions of scripture that reveal to us compassion so that we can as well learn how we can take on compassion for others, for one another here and outside of here. Right? I don't know about you, but I want to be a compassionate man. I remember when I had messed up my knee. Yeah, here. Oh, cool. All right. I remember when I'd messed up my knee and I'd had surgery and I was using my crutches. I went to the store and guys, you know how we are, right? We are tough, right? We can take care of ourselves, right? Come on. Yeah, us guys, we just take care of ourselves. And so I knew I couldn't push the cart, right? So what I did is I got the two bags and put them down where my hands were on my crutches. And I'm going out like this with the crutches. And this nice old lady came along and said, "Can I help you?" I said, "No." I did. I said, "I've got it." She said, "Please let me help you." Okay. Right? She had compassion. She looked at this poor guy struggling with his crutches and his food, right, and said, "Can I help you?" Right? She had compassion. I want to help. Have you ever had people do that for you? Yeah. Isn't it wonderful when you get over yourself, right? Yeah. That's the hard part, right? We got to get over ourselves and let people have compassion. And I think sometimes it's easier for us to show compassion than to receive compassion. But if you want people to receive compassion from you, you have to
receive compassion from others.
Come on. That's a good thing. Yeah, I know. It's tough. Yeah. There's going to be some wow moments here this morning. I know it. Okay, Matthew 9. We're going to go to Matthew 9, 35 through 38. This is each portion of Scripture is going to be powerful, power-packed, right? So 35 of Matthew 9, check this out. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Now listen to what he did. You got to hear this. What did he do? Went about all the cities and villages teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. We'll come back to that. There's a really cool nugget in this. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with what?
Compassion.
Think about this. There were a lot of people, right? There may have been someone with groceries and struggling with, you know, their crutches, right? And he saw everybody, and he was moved with compassion for everybody, right? For them. Why? Because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. When I saw that word weary, some of you, I'm a child of the 60s and 70s. Do you know what song came to my mind? Simon and Garfunkel. Bridge over troubled waters, right? When you're weary, feeling, right? I can remember that song, right? You know how songs are. Anyway, so weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, listen to this. The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. He's talking to his disciples, and I believe that he's saying, pray that you're going to get off your rear and go do something, right? Have compassion, right? Come on. We need to be a people that are ready because the harvest is coming. Will we respond with compassion? And I want to go back because in verse 35, there's something here that is so cool. Three things that took place: teaching, preaching, healing. I believe as we look through the scriptures, we'll see that when Jesus went into a town, he would teach, he would preach, and he would heal. Right? Three things. He didn't heal typically until he taught and he preached. There's other instances of this. The idea of teaching is explaining the scriptures, and it's typically to believers, right? Teaching is typically to believers. It's explaining the scriptures. So he would go to the believers, he'd be in the synagogue, and he would teach. But then it says, preach the gospel, right? The gospel, the good news. Preaching is proclaiming, and that's typically to unbelievers. So he would teach, preach, and then heal. Why? Because they had the word in them, and now a little bit of faith could rise up, and they could receive. I just thought I'd mention that. You can do with that what you will. Teach, preach, heal. Sometimes, now again, there are times when people were immediately healed, and we've seen that here, and that's used as a sign of God showing up, and now all of a sudden, oh, yeah. But think what would happen if they get the word in their heart, and then you lay hands, and see, here's the word I was talking about. Boom. Heal. Powerful. So he had compassion. By the way, in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Okay? So, that's the whole idea of teaching and preaching, right? The word of God. So let's you and I, when we're ministering to people, speak the word, Right? Speak the word. Speak the word. Come on. Yeah. Speak the word. Yeah. It's so important. Speak the word. Well, I want to continue here. Matthew 14. Oh, it gets better. Gets better. Matthew 14, 13 and 14. This is so interesting. Do you know what happened previous to this moment? John the Baptist had died. That was Jesus' cousin. And it says that the disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. That was verse 13 or 12. Now in 13, when Jesus heard it, it's important to know this. That was kind of the setup. Jesus was told. So it says, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to his deserted place by himself. He wanted to mourn. He wanted to take some time alone. Have you ever felt that way? I'm done. This is too much, right? The news is so heavy. I have got to be by myself. You ever felt like that? Jesus felt like that. There's so much going on around him that, and this news, I just got to be by myself, right? I just got to go to a place by myself. But don't you really dislike buts? Come on now, follow me. But when the multitudes heard it, now I'm not sure what they're talking about when they heard it, when they heard that John had died or when they heard that Jesus went somewhere. I'm not sure which one it was, but they heard something, and it says when they heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. So when they heard that maybe Jesus was going somewhere, or when they heard that John had died, they followed him. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. Now remember, he's mourning. He's wanting some alone time. And he was moved with compassion. You hear that, church? Jesus, when he was done, he just needed some alone time, saw these people that were following him, looked, saw the multitudes, and was moved with compassion. Compassion is something that comes upon us some awkward times. Wait, compassion, hold off, right? I'm mourning. Don't bug me right now, right? I need, it's me. Compassion says them, right? So all of a sudden, what came upon Jesus was now no longer, I need to mourn for John, but these people need something. He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. Now, I don't know about you, but when we're really praying for someone and we're really, like, compassionate, right? Oh, don't you feel drained? I mean, there are times I'm praying for someone and I'm feeling drained. He's already drained. Right? He's already drained. He's already sad. He's already overwhelmed, and he wanted some alone time, but people followed him, and he was moved with compassion. So that tells me that I better be careful when I'm down and out, not to just think about myself, because God can do something new and fresh in me, even when I'm having a hard day. Come on. Come on. Okay. Matthew 20. Ooh, it gets better. Okay, Matthew 20, 29 through 34. Compassion, right? Compassion. Oh, Lord, give us compassion. Now, as they departed from Jericho, by the way, Jesus is basically on his walk to Jerusalem to the end of his time here on earth, to the time when he would suffer. This is part of his cross walk. As he departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. Verse 30, and behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they had heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David, right? They're crying. They can't see, but they've heard. Oh, this multitude that's coming. Jesus is in the midst. Now, remember, this is towards the end of Jesus' ministry. So they've heard a lot about 3 years of news about Jesus. And all of a sudden, they hear that Jesus has come by. Have mercy on us! And the disciples were so excited for these two guys that they said, hey, Jesus, come over and help these two guys. You would think they would have, right? You would think they would have, right? Then the multitude warned them that they should be quiet, right? Isn't that so like us? We're all celebrating and happy. Jesus, have mercy. Shh, quiet. Kids, don't run. Stop what you're doing. We're in the house of God. Right? This is God's house. Come on in, have fun, right? Man, let's run around and jump, and it's okay, right? These guys are crying out, and the disciples, man, and the multitude, they had their order. Shh, quiet. Don't you dare disturb Jesus. He's with us. Be quiet. I love this. But they cried out all the more, right? It's like, no, I'm not going to, right? They can't see anyway, so they didn't get to see the body language, right? 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 I can't see you. I'm not going to hear you. I'm just going to cry out because I know that Jesus is in the midst. And I've heard about Jesus. Oh, my Jesus, come on, right? They cried out all the more, saying, have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David. So Jesus stood still. Wait, in the midst of this multitude, this is so cool. Isn't this cool? In the midst of the multitude, and he didn't say to the disciples, hey, shut up, right? He didn't say that to the disciples, and he didn't say it to the blind guys, right? He's in the multitude. Shh. I hear something. Come on. Think about it when you pray. I hear something. Come on. Come on. Jesus stood still and called them, right? He stopped. I wonder if when Jesus stopped, everybody else stopped. Probably not. Right? They're probably still hustling, bustling, doing their thing. But Jesus stopped because he heard their cries. Jesus stops when he hears our cry, church. Why? Oh, what do you want me to do for you? Let me see. Right? Right? What do you want me to do? He wanted to hear their voices. Right? He knew. They're crying out. They can't see. Right? There's a look about people that are blind. Come on. He knew. What do you want me to do for you? They said to him, Lord, that our eyes may be opened. Lord, that our eyes may be opened. And Jesus had what? Compassion. He felt what they felt. He was sympathetic to their plight, their blindness. He could imagine, wow, if right now if I was blind, what would that be like? Oh, these two guys, that's how they feel. that compassion, right? It was, he felt what they felt. So when you pray and you're calling out to him, know that he'll have compassion on you. He feels what you feel. That's our Jesus. Are you hearing me? That's our Jesus. He has compassion. So he had compassion and touched their eyes. Now, a minute ago, he was in this big crowd and he stopped. I don't know how close he was to them, but he must have made an effort to go over to where they were, right? Because there's a crowd, a multitude around him. I don't know if they, like, all of a sudden they thought, oops, man, we're jerks for telling those guys to shut up. Right? And all of a sudden, let's part the crowd and let Jesus walk over to him and we're going to be quiet. Right? Because Jesus took note of them. Doesn't matter what anyone around you says. Remember, Jesus takes note. He hears you. So no matter what anyone, Jesus don't hear you. Don't call out to him. you can't trust him. Don't stop. He hears you. He hears you. And what took place is, obviously, the crowd parted so that Jesus could go right over to where they were and touch their eyes. Right? He didn't stay over here and just say, be healed. He went to them, got close and touched them. Wow. And immediately, their eyes received sight. And they followed him. Check it out. Before, they couldn't follow anybody unless they were led, right? Led by the hand, right? But now they could see, and they're going to follow Jesus. Two new converts. I'm following you. Wherever you go, I'm following you. What happens when he answers our prayer, church? Are we going to follow him? Or are we going to say, well, you know what? Yeah, I know you answered my prayer today, but tomorrow, will you still be here for me tomorrow? The answer is yes. What we hear this morning, we heard, wait on the Lord, be still. Your timing sometimes isn't God's timing. Still serve him. Still trust him. There's one other one that I want us to look at. In Luke 7. Is this good? Yeah. Come on. Yeah. He has compassion. He has compassion. This is incredible. In Luke 7, 11 through 16. I like this because it deals with the story that we just started this whole time with the slow driver. Now it happened the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and a large crowd. Man. So there's a large, do you hear how this large crowd is kind of always around Jesus? So here's a large crowd coming into a city, right? And when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. So you've got these two crowds coming. A crowd of life and a crowd of death, right? Dead man, right? Only son of a widow mom. She's got no one to help her. She's coming out of the city, and there's a crowd with Jesus coming into the city. West Side Story. No, I'm kidding. Gosh. So the two crowds meet. When the Lord saw her, check this out, two crowds, Jesus put his focus on the mom, the widow. When he saw her, he had what? Can you believe that? He's in this crowd of people. She's in a crowd of people. He saw her and immediately knew this is the mom. And that casket, by the way, that's opened and the son is inside, dead, is her only son. Husband's dead. She's alone, and immediately there's compassion on her, on him, for her. Wow. Don't ever say Jesus doesn't care. Right? He has compassion. He had compassion on her and said to her, don't weep. It's like, really? You're telling me not to cry? Have you ever had someone just tell you, like, hey, stop crying, right? Big boys don't cry. It's a 60s song. I'm sorry. I'm in a 60s mode. I am. But by the way, big boys do cry. It's okay. It's okay, right? But he said to her, don't weep. Like, really? Is that really the best you can do, Jesus? Right? Don't weep. But listen to what he says. Then he came and touched the open coffin. Right? Coffin's open. I don't think he just touched the coffin. I think he put the hand on the dead guy. Right? It's open. He's doing again what the law says he can't do. You can't touch a corpse. But by the way, when he touched the corpse, it was alive. So he didn't touch a corpse. Amen. I'm just saying. Right? Jesus has a way of getting around the law. Right? Yeah. Oh, that's my Jesus. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that Jesus isn't bothered by leprosy? He's not bothered by death, right? He'll touch it because it's no longer leprous. It's no longer death. It's life. He touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, like, oh my gosh, can you believe it? This guy's touching a corpse. Unclean, unclean. They probably rushed by and wanted to take him away. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Can you imagine the two crowds? They're thinking, okay, you've gone too far, Jesus. First you're telling the mom not to cry. Now you're putting your hand on a dead man and saying, arise? Really? Come on, Jesus. Yeah, come on, Jesus. Right? Come on. And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Could you imagine that? Like, here's this coffin, right? Here's this dead guy, right? Put your hands on him. Hi there, Mom. Right? He began to speak. That's crazy. That's crazy. Give me a break. So all the people that were like, man, Jesus has gone too far. I'm like, whoa. All right. Bring some more dead people by here. Come on. Right? Let's go over to the gravesite. Hey, my mom 10 years ago. No, I don't know. Right? Wow. And he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he, Jesus, presented him, dead guy that's now alive, right, to his mom. Now you understand why he said, don't weep, right? If he would have said, don't weep, get over it, it's okay, man, you're going to get married next year and have another kid, don't worry, right? We do that, right? Just get over it. Jesus had a plan. Don't weep. Because something's going to take place, and your son's going to be back. And he didn't give her the whole story. By the way, do you know that Jesus doesn't always give us the whole story? Come on. If you hear the Lord say something to you, like, don't weep, and you feel like, get out of here, God. You don't know what's going on. Stop. Take an account of what he said, and move forward. Watch what he'll do. Present him to his mother. I love this next thing. Check this out. Then fear came upon all, and they glorified God, saying, a great prophet has risen up among us, and God has visited his people. Isn't that cool? Because Jesus had compassion. Because he had compassion. I want to end with this verse. Whew. Wait, there's something. Oh, yeah. This. We'll stop for a minute. Just one. A man and his wife are wakened at 3 a.m. in the morning by a loud pounding on the door. The man gets up, goes to the door where a drunken stranger standing in pouring rain, asking for a push. Not a chance, he says. It's 3 in the morning. He slams the door, returns to bed. Who was that? Asks his wife. Just some drunk guy asking for a push, he answered. Did you help him? No, I didn't. It's 3 a.m. It's pouring rain outside. His wife said, don't you remember 3 months ago someone had compassion on us and those two guys helped us? I think you should help him. Be ashamed. You should be ashamed of yourself. The man does as he's told, gets dressed, goes out into the pouring rain, and calls out into the dark, hello, are you still there? Yes, comes back the answer. Do you still need a push? Calls out the husband. Yes, please, comes the reply from the darkness. Where are you? Asks the husband. Over here, on the swing. Okay, we're going to end with this verse. Okay, 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, listen to this. Peter, finally, all of you be of one mind. You're united in the way you think. All of I'm going to say that this is for us as a congregation. All of you be of one mind, having what?
Compassion.
For who?
One another.
One another. We should have compassion for one another. Not just that. Love as brothers. That word love is Philadelphia, which we get from Philadelphia, city of love. Right? Brotherly love. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted. Ooh, have a tender heart towards people, and be courteous. So we've seen how Jesus was compassionate in a variety of circumstances. And I believe that he calls us to be like that to people around us, believers and unbelievers. Because when the unbeliever sees our compassion that typically the world doesn't show, then maybe they're going to want to know about who and how did this compassion come upon us for them? Who led us to that? Jesus, right? Jesus. Don't just be compassionate and then, oh yeah, I know, I'm such a good guy. No. I'm compassionate because Jesus was compassionate towards me. I was once lost, and now I'm found. I was once blind, but now I see, right? He had compassion on me, and he had compassion on you. If I could have our worship team come up, I'd like us to close. This can be a real difficulty for us as a people to have compassion on others. I want to walk out of here with more compassion, right? I want to walk out of here being more like Jesus and less like me. And I need him to help me with that. And maybe you're sitting there today saying, I want to have more compassion towards people around me. Maybe even when I'm feeling down and out, maybe when I'm rushed and in a hurry, if I could just consider what others are going through instead of what I'm going through. God, give me compassion. If that's you this day, then just join me. I'm going to pray, and you ask the Lord as well to fill you with compassion. Lord, we come to you this morning. We recognize that we can be compassionless. But we want to be compassion-led. We realize, Lord, that there are so many things that get in the way, interfere with our hearts. We ask that you'd help us to set all that stuff to the side, to be less concerned about self and more concerned about others, and that we would allow compassion to flow, or that you would give us spirit-led compassion for others, Lord. and that people would see Jesus more than anything else. They'd see Jesus and know that He is compassionate towards them. So, Lord, would you begin to fill our hearts anew and afresh with that compassion that you've had towards us, that we could have it towards others. Fill us up, Lord. Oh, God. Help us to allow your word to sink in deep. We thank you. It's in the wonderful name of Jesus that we pray. And everyone said,